Christ Jesus, when all is darkness and we feel our weakness and helplessness, give us the sense of your presence, your love, and your strength. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find us on keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. And yes, that was Patrice.
Woo.
How you doing there, sugar tits?
Oh, I'm goodness. Fine. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
This is our new obnoxious format.
My cool, tall, chocolatey drink.
Oh.
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
Hmm? Chicks like that.
That was awkward.
You don't like that?
Super awkward.
Girls like that?
No.
I'm watching this on How to Pick Up Chicks. It's a Mel Gibson documentary.
Stick to your own chick, Keith.
This show is brought to you by the Permanent Record Podcast. The Permanent Record is a weekly podcast from two 30-something Minnesotans. Small town news, celebrity gossip, TV, movies, and their daily lives are all discussed, wicked, yet sweet. Go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com for shows and more information. Looking right here on the feedback. Everybody excited to see you?
Cool.
There's Chop Suey. He's got a big plate of lo mein right in front of him. And he's saying he's really stoked for the show today. I have a huge midterm tomorrow, but I've decided to take an hour break to listen to Patrice's return. I even decided to put what may be the greatest episode of Oprah's Favorite Things on the back burner for this event.
Oh, it's so good today. I saw it this morning. It is so good.
What's Oprah's favorite thing this year?
Okay, so she did two tapings.
Right.
So it's a mashup. But all told, she gave away a cruise.
Okay.
The Container Store is going to come to your house and full on make the closet of your dreams.
Oh my God, that's the one I want.
She gave away the 3D big old HD TV from Sony.
Okay.
Like the $5 million TV.
To every person in the
crowd? Sony signed a check. Let's go, Oprah said. She gave away...
How did they hide these giant TVs under the chairs?
No, they have little elves come out.
The elves come out with coupons.
Oh, okay.
To go get it later. And they show them in the back room lined up, and I'm sure everybody screams.
Okay.
But,
Oh my God, this is a long way from the little pashminas.
I think if you got the TV, you didn't get the cruise, and if you got the cruise, you didn't get the TV. Like, you didn't get the closet. Like, there was one main giant prize, and then a 5-year membership to Netflix. Then other miscellany.
What's the membership to Netflix? Is it one CD or do you get the package deal of five?
Well, it's Oprah. We're going gold standard.
Okay. That shit sounds like it's about to pop off because it's her final season.
It's her final season, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
She's been, like, just murdering people all season, like, because it's the last one. She had, like, Michael Jackson's kids on and...
Has any year ever been a bummer? Like, you somehow got to go to this lucky taping where she gives away everything.
She's acting like it's November sweeps. The entire season, like usually that stuff stays in November when you have like the day after, like last week or the week before, it was like George W. Bush.
She gave away George W. Bush.
She did. He was under everyone's chair. He was laughing the whole time.
Let me tell you something, by the way.
Laughing or giggling?
Giggling.
I saw George W. Bush do some interviews. He was on one of the late night talk shows. I don't like his smarminess. I do not. I mean, I didn't like it then, but
yeah.
That you have the right that you're going down in history as the worst president of all time, and they're uncovering more and more things from presidents, you know, when we weren't alive, you know, John Quincy Adams, this and that. But he's the worst president of all time. And just to make like cute little jokes where, oh, he got, you know, he's in another country and he tries to exit, you know, that the famous clip where he's trying to leave the room, but he doesn't know what to do. Does he push the door? And so he just stands there like a dummy, like smiling, and then finally walks away. And so he says on these talk shows, his go-to joke, talk about not having an exit strategy. And it's am I the only one not finding that hilarious?
Yeah, you're talking about people's kids.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't have an exit strategy for that one. Maybe behind that door is the weapons of mass destruction. Maybe. Oh, he bugs the shit out of me. He's selling a book, right?
Yeah.
And what's it about? Yeah.
Fuck, I know.
That's the real truth.
They're building a library for him. What the fuck are they going to put in it?
I'm sure it's a very exciting book. Always wanted to do baseball, didn't, ended up president. Well, sometimes you got to go for plan B.
I don't think he wrote a book. I don't think he can write a paragraph.
It's going to be as told to on the cover, I'm sure.
My God.
Well, more excitement. Sean is saying, Patrice, fuck yeah, suck yeah. And speaking of which, Brother Love is IMing. Hiya, Patrice. I'm back in New York City tomorrow. Let's fuck.
See, that's how you talk to a lady.
He's got away. Would you have sex with Brother Love?
No.
Now, why? Now, is it because he's a player and you feel like you're going to be looked at or feel like a whore? Or is he just not your thing?
I don't think I'd be looked at. Cole would sit me down and ask if I was okay, if I was having a little bit of a life struggle.
Right.
What's going on? No, it's just...
Is it more like you're not into him, or
is it
like, I'm better than your little
games? I appreciate the process. He's more fun to watch in action than actually be involved in any fashion. It's like National Geographic. You see him get the scent.
Okay.
You see the wounded jaguar across the room. Wounded emotionally, that is. All
right.
And then the descent upon it.
Well, he's saying you're the best wingman ever.
I am, actually. I've gotten him laid so much.
Give me an example. What's a for instance?
No, I'm not going to give you an example. No. That'd be rude.
No, right, it's personal.
Gentleman's secrets. No, but I usually point it. I was like, that one's drunk. Go get it.
That one's... You point to the drunk
scatter,
ones.
Scatter, not just the drunk ones.
That's some wingman.
Not just the drunk ones.
You get them drunk.
Or I do the reverse. The cop and the
oh, good cop, bad good cop.
Yeah, I do bad cop. Like, leave him alone. He is a bad boy. And they're like, hey, boo, how are you?
You don't want to fuck him.
Patrice
said
not to mess with you, and she knows shit. So let me just do the polar opposite.
Women.
Uh-huh. It's true.
That's awful.
Racy is so excited. She's saying, I'm so excited I could tattoo Patrice's name on my fucking chest.
Oh, please don't.
Do it.
If people are, don't know who Patrice is, well, you just go to keithandthegirl.com/guests. I'm going to type in top episode count, and look who's at the top. Patrice with over 200 Keith and the Girl shows.
Yes.
That's your number one right there.
Mm-hmm.
209 shows. Number two, if you're curious, spooky, but it's not close. 61 shows.
I'm surprised it's spooky. I guess he was over for a while a lot, right? And we were just like, hey.
And then Brother Love 55 shows. So they're catching up. So it's good to have you to make sure they don't get close to the 209. And we're going to learn all about Patrice, see what's been going on. I want to share this story first, though. There's a man in Bulgaria who racked up a lengthy list of drug-induced felonies after being given drugs that were promised to guarantee a good time.
Oh,
I wonder if he could sue. He decided to take some drugs with a friend, and what followed was a drug-addled rampage of immense proportions. Here's the statement from police.
Can everybody hear the smile on Keith's face? Because I was looking at the feedback, and I'm like, I bet he's
smiling.
I don't
even have to look. I know the corners are turned up.
First, he cut off a piece of his penis, and when his father came in to help him, he sliced off his father's ear. Then he ran into the road, partially naked and bleeding, where he jumped into a car owned by a young woman who was unloading the truck and drove off. He went to a red light and crashed into a motorcycle before leaping out of the car and running to a nearby farm where he tried to batter down the door. When that failed, he ran down the back of the house and tried to set fire to a haystack. He then stabbed a lamb to death before stripping off his remaining clothes and stealing an axe when he then ran off completely naked. When police closed in, he climbed a high-voltage cable and was blasted with several volts. That's when he was able to be arrested. He said...
I'm sorry, I have two questions.
Sure.
A, what the fuck did he take?
Just something to guarantee a good time.
Well, according to celebrities, all that is a half a glass of wine and some Tylenol.
You know? And B, that sounds like a Prodigy video.
He's saying, normally I...
Doesn't it?
Right.
Exhale.
Oh, here it is. After his second glass of Four Loko, he then...
No.
He's said to have taken drugs with a friend. He is now fighting for his life in intensive care.
He doesn't want his life back. No. He broke it.
Talk about a bad day.
I thought you were going to say he put the lamb on as like clothing after he killed it. That's going to get better.
I don't know. I think I believe that part of you in ICU has to want to fight through it. I don't mean that's what makes you better, but part of it.
You got to redeem yourself.
You have to want to come back. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of need for him to want to come back.
Oh,
you know?
He's hungover in his coma.
Oh, yeah.
This guy needs rest. You need rest after doing that. And can you imagine, you know what it's like. When you're out and you knew when to say when, but you didn't stop. And the next day, you're like, what did I do?
It might even
I
be
do?
An induced coma. He cut off part of his penis.
What?
You don't just bounce back from that.
What did I do? Well, you cut off a piece of your penis. Oh, my God. That's insane. Yeah, that's how it started.
Yeah.
That's how the night started. You're like, what? So all of a sudden, you're just checking yourself. Like, do I have an asshole anymore? Like,
yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck else just happened.
You look up and ask your dad if he's okay. I can't hear you.
What the fuck?
You snatched his ear.
Oh,
is his dad
God.
Even at the hospital? I wouldn't talk to him. Fuck you.
Well, I know you're not mad at me, Dad, but I guess everybody's mad at me. This whole town. At least the local sheep likes me, right? What? I what?
I don't even know what they would charge him with. There's so much.
Criminal mischief.
They like making lists, though, the police department.
Yeah, when it comes just to for shits and giggles. Let's see how much we would charge him.
Yeah. What about, like, you know, they have to find some stuff to charge him with. Like, when it comes to the lamb, what are you charging him with?
Right.
But at the same time, they also add those asshole ones, like... Mm-hmm.
Trespassing for climbing the wires.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something right. like that. Or misconduct of some sort.
Nudity, you know? Publicly.
Yeah.
Well, you cut off your dad's ear. Never mind what you did to yourself. A slaughtered neighbor's lamb, set their haystack on fire. Who knows if
biblical?
More... Yeah, right. So right, he was told to do something from somebody.
That sounds really biblical when you say it out like that.
But after all of it, you get a $35 fine for running a red light.
Public indecency,
right. Grand Theft Auto.
And another story: a crazed drifter was convicted yesterday of strangling a Pace University sophomore with an electrical cord.
Pace in New York.
Pace University, yeah, so I assume in New York.
Sorry, we have
West 15th Street, right?
We have drifters in 2010?
I don't know. Well, Jerome Cancel, he grinned as a Manhattan jury announced that they found him guilty of second-degree murder in the August 2008 death of a 19-year-old, Kevin Pravia.
Oh, so the shock killed him. When you say he shocked a guy?
With no, I said that he just used an electrical cord, so it was a cord.
He strangled him
and
with
he
an
strangled
electrical cord.
Oh, okay.
He will be sentenced on December 10th. He faces 25 years to life in prison. The brutal slay happened inside his West 15th Street apartment.
Oh crap!
I know that's somebody's looking for that apartment.
Now they're not saying what was going on. I don't know if like shady shit was going on or not. Is it me just not making friends with strangers?
No, you know what too, especially in New York, you have to watch the door close behind you. That even if you have a slam lock front door, you want to make sure you close it behind you.
But it sounds like they were invited,
because sometimes people like loiter. I have friends who live in buildings where sometimes you'll come in, somebody that's not a part of the building is smoking weed downstairs in the vestibule.
You know what, Patrice could be right. It says the brutal slay happened inside Pravia's, the guy who was killed, 15th Street apartment, where the honor student from Massachusetts took Cancel, 24, after they met in nearby Union Square Park. So, sorry to give you the praise. Oh. I think you're wrong, after all.
So they didn't meet. Okay.
So they met, and then they're hanging out in an apartment. Now,
that sucks.
Am I jaded, or some kind of sex game's going on?
Oh, it's probably sexual, yeah. You don't meet another grown man as a straight man and bring him back to your house to hang out.
Detectives.
I think some people invite, like, you'd
go to a bar and hang out. You'd go to a third location. Let's go to this party where they have weed. I've never heard of two straight men saying, you know what, let's go to my house and smoke weed. We've never met.
Maybe you're right.
Detectives involved in the case testified during the trial that Cancel told them he strangled Pravia out of boredom.
How dare you?
Read a book.
Stuffed a plastic bag in the victim's mouth and then watched the horror flick Hostel.
So it's not even a good movie.
Just chilling in his apartment, though? Like, oh, you have Hostel.
So he didn't have roommates or anything? That's crazy. Imagine you come home, your roommate's dead, and this man's watching Hostel and eating up all the Hot Pockets.
Well, it's in his apartment. So it's in the killer's... They're in the killer's apartment.
Oh! I thought they were in the Kill-E's
apartment.
No,
no, wait.
Me too.
No, they're in the Kill-E's apartment. You read it right the first time.
Right, right.
Because the guy's a drifter. Drifters don't have street addresses.
Especially not on 15th Street. That's expensive.
Girl.
Okay, so it's Jerome Cancel.
Right.
He's the killer. This happened in Kevin Pravia's apartment.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so it happened in the Killee's apartment. Okay.
Yeah, and for his age, I was just assuming he probably had roommates living on 15th, but if he's a Massachusetts honor student, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, Pravia said that that Cancel told that he strangled Pravia out of boredom and, yeah, stuffed a plastic bag in the victim's mouth. He told the cops that he had watched Saw, confusing the two movies, leading the killing to be dubbed the Saw Slang. So if you heard about the Saw Slangs, it's really the Hostel Slangs.
They're missing out on their cute little titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lawyer for this guy argued during the trial that his client suffered from mental illness and an emotional disturbance triggered the slay. He plans to appeal the decision.
I think you're disturbed for sure.
You're not normal.
Even if you didn't say you were bored, you're just killing someone. That's disturbing.
I know I brought this up before, but when you're a lawyer for these pieces of shit, your wife fucks you? Or just like another car is worth it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're a lawyer for this guy, and your wife is like, yeah, that's who I wanted to constantly fuck. A guy that gets these pieces at your second degree murder, you're smiling.
Well,
and I'm the lawyer for you, and I would like a blowjob tonight? Get the fuck out.
I think the ones that are good at it take on the mindset that they're trying to make sure that justice is carried out properly, even if it does mean their client's going to jail. It's not always about winning the case. It's just about getting the right amount of time. And if he really is mentally ill, possibly getting him some kind of help.
I mean, where do you stop? Like, let's say your wife is murdered. Do you take the guy's case then?
No, that's a movie.
Why not? That's a movie.
It's a movie. That doesn't really happen.
Do you know this, though? 1 in 5 people are mentally ill.
No shit.
What? Yeah, but you got all that, you know, ADD, ADHD.
Yeah, to what degree?
Yeah, that's a mental illness, you know?
More than 45 million Americans, or 20% of the adult population, had some form of mental illness last year, and 11 million had a serious mental illness. Government research has reported yesterday. So, they're saying 20%, I got to do some, help me with this math, 20% of adult population has mental illness, 11 million has a serious mental illness.
How many
are undiagnosed, too?
So, yeah, how many are diagnosed? How many are on medication? What are you considering severe?
What are you considering mental illness?
Well, when they say severe, I think I mean severe, right?
No, I mean for the light mental illness.
Yeah.
Young adults 18 to 25 had the highest level of mental illness at 30%, while those 50 and older had the lowest.
Because there's less of them.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
That's 13%. That's a big percent difference.
I think you work out some stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You realize things aren't that important, maybe, you know?
Could be.
When I got a bad report card, I was flipping out. Is that mental illness? I didn't want my dad to see it. I was having a mental problem. And this is news this morning. More than 2,000 illegally aborted fetuses have been recovered in a Buddhist temple in Bangkok, Thai, police said.
You almost swallowed your tongue.
That's how they talk. It's actually, giving not many people. Did you ever think this, by the way? Do you notice this, or is this me? It's okay to make fun of Asians. You would never make derogatory, not even derogatory, just making fun.
You wouldn't do it about
black people or other races, but I see it around Asians, and I feel like for some reason people think that's okay.
You can't do the voice, though. The voice is a real, like the fake English kind of voice. You can't do that all the time. You can't just pull that one out, because that's a bit far.
Keep an eye open. Keep an ear open. Tell me if I'm right.
I think you can do the, what did he just say? And you can make fun of menus when you don't understand, but you can't whip out the voice and do the, you can't do eye adjustments or anything. That's not okay.
The fetuses were initially discovered earlier this week in Thailand, of course. You know, you can't have abortions.
Yeah, abortion's illegal.
If rape, you know, you might be able to get an abortion. Endangered by pregnancy, you might be able to, but it's absolutely illegal. The fetuses were initially discovered earlier in the week, given away by the smell of decay in the Phang Nuang Cheng Tong Temple in central Bangkok.
You can't do that.
I'm doing it right. I'm doing it right.
He said Ching Chong at the end of the sentence.
Cheng Rom Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Friday's recovery efforts brought the total discovery to 2,002 fetuses. Police Colonel Matty Rockman said, eating a big plate of chicken chow mein. From the confession of one of the morticians of the temple that we interrogated last night, he says he told us that they received these fetuses from the same place as the first lot of 348 fetus remains, and they became dry. We think that they might have arrived here about a year ago.
Why would they be holding on for a year?
I don't understand why he didn't incinerate. He was a mortician. I don't understand why he didn't incinerate them. Like, he was just hanging on to all these dead babies.
Of course you're going to get caught. That's the smell of 2,000 dead babies.
Over two or three year period, he's just collecting.
He says he admitted that he would keep the fetuses until they dried up, then burn them because for some reason they're easier to burn.
Is that it's just for easier to burn? I thought maybe it's a god thing, like you're holding on to it.
Well,
until
they were at a temple, so it might be a god thing too.
Authorities have arrested a woman on two charges. One is performing illegal abortions and opening an unlicensed clinic.
Yeah, it's kind of double fucked for her because she was doing it because women in the country can't get abortions. So, which is fine. I understand. She was trained by an actual doctor.
Right.
She just didn't legally have a medical license, which, yes, boo on her for not, you know, performing without a medical license. But the thing that I was kind of janky on is that she was performing late-term abortions and 8 of those children survived. So she ended up with 8 kids.
What?
Yes.
Say this again.
What, she took them out and they were still alive? Ew.
Yeah. So she had performed, it was one price if you were in your first trimester or less, like 3 months or less. And I know the first trimester, I think, is longer than, no, it is 3 months. But first trimester or less, it was a certain price. And then for later term abortions, because it's more dangerous and more complicated of a procedure, she was charging more. But at some point, she had performed some procedures where the babies were live births.
Now, when you say it's live births, don't you kill the baby and then you suck the baby out? Now, I'm sure she doesn't have our equipment.
I don't think she was doing the traditional DNC the way we do it here. I think she was just removing babies.
What's DNC?
The little...
Okay. Well, does it stand for something?
It does, but I don't know what it stands for.
Dead and...
Oh.
Two morticians have been charged with hiding bodies and face up to a year in jail if convicted. You know what, by the way? It's like Kendall was saying when they give you those bullshit charges. Illegal abortions? Okay. That's going to be a hefty punishment. And opening up an unlicensed clinic? Well, I would assume.
Where was I doing them?
Temples in Thailand typically have morticians who prepare bodies for cremation.
Okay.
From our interrogation of the morticians, they admitted that they have been receiving fetuses for about 4 years, and they told us that they kept the fetuses until they dried up, so it's easy to burn. The fetuses come from illegal abortion clinics, obviously.
Mm-hmm. But also, she had, it was like well known that she was doing this because she performed abortions for like one really well known Thai model and two really known Thai actresses. So like, they trusted her to perform the abortion.
But people are getting these 8-month abortions? Like,
well, they didn't necessarily get it late term, but they had abortions performed by her.
Right, but still, what do you say to the people she did do it for? Whether you're a celebrity or not, like, what happened? Gas.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're obviously pregnant at that point. Yeah. Where did it go? And well, you could say you had a miscarriage.
It's probably really poor women or women that got raped and didn't, you know, have the money together to get to her until they were late term.
Oh, well. America's still not number one? I'm not sure. Just checking around. Just asking.
Hey, we were doing that kind of stuff when it was illegal.
Exactly.
Yeah, we were monkeys.
Come on, you watched Dirty Dancing.
Exactly.
You know what? When I first saw Dirty Dancing, I had no idea what was going on.
No one knew it was about abortion.
I had no idea. I was wondering why everyone was getting so mad at this girl for being sick.
I thought she literally lost the baby.
I thought it was just... I didn't know she
was... no longer find my child.
I didn't know she was pregnant. I didn't know.
She was in trouble, if you watched the movie properly. You never really got it clarified.
Yeah, I thought maybe... I didn't understand. I thought somehow she was a whore and... I don't know. I don't know why you needed to get some outside doctor or why you're paying for things. I don't know. I really didn't understand.
She was in trouble.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't until I watched it, like, maybe at about 14, I was like, oh, okay.
Did you feel that way like you're watching Grease? Like, what are they talking about?
Grease is dirty when you really watch
it. Yeah, I didn't know about Grease either. I didn't know what happened to her at all.
Because I used to sing along to all those little songs. They're dirty. They're all about grinding on people in cars, and Grease Lightning is dirty.
Grease Lightning is trying to get a little tit.
Yeah, Grease Lightning is a dirty-ass song.
Well, what's funny is when I watched Dirty Dancing, I didn't know that she was pregnant. I didn't know the dirty stuff. And I thought, they're not really dancing dirty. I just thought, like, because they were so choreographed. I was like, that's not really...
But for the 50s, it was nasty.
And also, they're old enough to, like, grind. I didn't know. I guess I didn't know that that's, like, what sex is on top of everything. You know, I don't know. It just didn't...
I've been to clubs, though. That's not dirty dancing
anymore.
Yeah.
Dirty dancing is you're trying to hide your dick in between their ass cheeks.
Yeah. I've been to the club. I've seen some things.
Right?
Oh, God.
I can dance now.
I'm terrified to step on dance floors in certain clubs because they'll just automatically think that you're asking to dance in some fashion.
You're just busting loads now in dance clubs.
Oh, yeah. The Jamaicans do it the best. They like, bring ladders. No shit.
What?
Yeah.
Ladders for what?
To jump off of onto the woman they're dancing with. This shit looks like a video game. I swear to God.
What?
I'll show you videos later.
This was about 10 years ago, but I was at the Copacabana. And you're really just fucking there on the dance floor.
When Lambada came out. Yeah.
Right. And I'm trying to take this woman home, and she basically said to me, why? We're fucking right now.
What are we going to do, talk? You're going to kill me, aren't you?
You're hard. I can feel it in my ass. Where do we need to go? What's going on? You know, of course, Steven Slater. Pro or anti? Where were you at there, Patrice?
I was
from
pro.
JetBlue.
I was pro. His new efforts, I'm not pro.
Okay, but you do understand, you think it's okay that he he flipped open that exit and ran screaming, fuck all yous.
Not the safest thing he could have done, but I understand the impetus. He probably played that scene over in his head a million times and then finally just said, you know what? If I'm going to go out, let's do it. And just...
Yeah, right. I think for entertainment value, people were like, yeah. Like, they always wanted to do that, and they're living vicariously through
them. Yeah, because there's so many people that are miserable at what they do, and they could imagine their version of a Steven Slater.
Even in 5 seconds, though, watching interviews with him, can't you tell he's a little bitch?
Oh, he's a cunt, yeah.
Right.
By the way, before we do continue on, Brother Love is writing in, so Patrice, want to let and dance with me?
No.
Yeah, I don't know what dance could be forbidden with what I'm seeing.
Now when I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, he's molesting her. She's 16 years old.
And he's 45,000 years old.
He's a grown-ass adult. What's this? In Dirty Dancing.
Ooh. She's like 15 or 16.
Yeah. They mentioned that in the beginning. She's like, oh, my last summer in high school or some kind of bullshit. He is an adult with a job. He's not just, you know. Mm-hmm.
Johnny's been there a couple seasons.
Yeah. And he fucks everyone.
Heart wants what the heart wants.
Weird. You know?
This is... Steven Slater, he now has he's hawking a iPhone application. And we mentioned this the other day. It's called Line 2. And I guess it's for when you're on a plane, and I guess you talk to other people that are on your plane.
Seriously? Is that what it is? I don't want to talk to anyone on my plane.
Yeah, it's not a school bus. I just want to get where I'm going.
Hey, who else is on Line 2? I'm in the bathroom.
Aren't you supposed to not have your phone on like that in the plane? How is this working?
Well, you can have it when it's going. You can have your phone on, right? And I guess for some reason this is able to connect. And I guess you're using the phone, the airplane's wireless. So maybe
you're talking via wireless. Okay.
But no, what are you talking about?
Who about what?
This movie, what could you be talking about?
Why do I have to be engaged at every second of my day? If I go on a plane, I want to sleep, read shitty magazines, and eat a really salty sandwich from the terminal that I've purchased.
Well, there's a company called the Mile High Text Club, and they have this app called Line 2, and this is Steven Slater rapping to you, trying to get you to buy it.
Oh, he went dubstep. So Super Mario just came out.
My name is Steven Slater, and I'm no longer blue. Now don't be a hater, cause you never flew 500,000 miles in a little tin can, maintaining 4 smiles for the unpleasant man. A steamer trunk squeezed into the overhead compartment, where there's room for that crap, I'd make it my apartment. Now I'm pimping Line 2, and the killer app it is. My legal fees are paid by the .com biz. If you got an iPhone or an iPod Touch, Line 2 is gonna help you out oh so much. Come to MileHighTextClub.com, then you're gonna know Line 2 is the bomb. Climb into the cockpit and throw all the switches, now you're using Line 2. I'm Steven Slater, bitches.
All right, rap gang signs for a little bit.
You know where I saw him going with his career after that whole situation? Yes. I understood that he'd never again be allowed to.
You thought he was going to go straight down to the Ramrod, and I know what you mean.
No.
Oh.
I thought he'd end up working for or speaking with airlines about managing working conditions as someone who had a legit flip out.
Right.
I could have seen him going that route, like a speaker route about going to, speaking at different companies about stress and people feeling overworked to management about how to talk to employees or something.
I didn't
or how
see that.
To talk with employees versus customers. Well, this is before I knew he wasn't sensible. But that's the only other viable career I saw coming out of that.
I just saw that he would be like a talking head for a second, you know?
Oh, yeah. He'd have his 15 minutes. But as far as an adult job, when he's done with that,
I thought he'd get a book deal do that. For something.
Yeah. You know, how to manage your job stress or some kind of bullshit book.
But Tom McCaffrey's better than this guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's get to it, Patrice. I want to know what the fuck's been going on. Where you been? What's doing? You're back in New York.
I've been back in New York.
I didn't even know this. Do you know that?
I saw you at Cole's birthday party.
No, we didn't go.
Oh, nice try, Patrice.
I thought I saw you at Cole's birthday party.
You saw me?
Yes, I did see you.
Was her birthday party a costume party?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nice try, Keith. Okay. Anyone else want to try?
It was the end of August, and then I had gone back to Boston and decided I didn't want to be in Boston anymore, so I came back early. So I came back, I want to say the day before Labor Day, maybe, or the day after Labor Day.
What makes you leave New York City for Boston?
Well, my lease was done, so I had to find a new place.
Okay.
And so I went and looked and immediately figured out that at that point in time, everybody was coming in for summer, so there was nothing like awesome available. It was all really, like, I'd seen like about six shitty apartments in a row. And then I had gotten a job offer up in Boston, but they wanted me to be part-time in the office. They didn't want me to work from down here. So it's like, fuck it. I'll go hang out.
For website writing, like online stores.
Right, for writing copy for a website. So it's like, fuck it. I'll go have fun. I'll hang out for the summer in Boston. Why not?
Do you have to
try a new city?
Now, I think you're like, fuck you, New York. I'm, you know, too much hassle.
I wasn't full on fuck you, New York. I was fuck you apartment process. And I knew that if I came back after the school rush, there's usually like a weird little period late September, early November where you'll find apartments because people are settled that moved into school and whatever's open is open. So I was like, I'll come back then. It won't be a big deal. It won't be a rush. Boston is like up the road to me because you have Wi-Fi on the bus. I'm doing all the work I was going to be doing anyway when I'm traveling both ways. I like had two or three free rides by the amount because I was still here a lot, even though I was up in Boston. I came back to New York, I want to say maybe about five times for the summer.
This is it's a tough town to live in, right? New York.
It is. New York's tough town?
Yeah.
No, I like New York.
You don't think so?
No.
Like when they say...
It's a tough town to afford.
Yes.
Now, is that it? It's just money when they say, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. They're just talking money?
They just need to see if you can make money here.
I think originally they were talking about the aggression and there used to be crime-filled streets. Like, you know, I mean, there's still crime here, but it used to be really aggressive and really fucked up. And don't take the train past a certain hour, especially if you're a woman. You know,
and then at one point, don't take the train at all.
Exactly. So I think that's what used to stay. And also, everybody comes here to try to make their dreams. I think they were talking about dancers and artists.
People make an effort to get here. There are people right now that are about 16 and that day after high school graduation, they're getting on a plane and they're coming here. Like, it's a destination city to live in. It's not...
But you have an internet job. You could have done that anywhere, right?
Yeah, I already have an... The same... I was doing the same job while I was doing that job. It was just extra... Honestly, it was just to go hang out and have fun for the summer.
Okay, so you go to Boston. You're taking it easy.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
I do not like Boston. I'm sorry.
No, it
isn't. Boston people.
Less exciting or...
Well,
you're the only black person?
I wasn't in Boston proper. I'll say that about Boston. I was about, I was the equivalent if you are in, let's say, 23rd Street to Williamsburg. So I'm like 15 minutes out of the city proper.
Okay.
So, the 15 minutes makes a real difference. It's not like here where like everything is their own neighborhood that has its own sort of lifestyle and things going on. It was like being at the very end of Long Island.
Now, I was just in, we did a Keith Lingero live show in Boston, and you were there, and everybody was very welcoming, and I loved it, but I wasn't there for months. I understand, if I remember correctly, we're used to New York City transportation.
Right, and I don't drive, and so I looked at maps and everything before I decided to go. I was like, yeah, they have a rail, they have an actual train, and then they have buses, and I'll be fine. Yeah, those buses stop running at like 7:30 as far as the express bus into Boston directly. And then the rail stops, I think, at like midnight or something. So even if you can figure out, you're stuck at the end of the rail line and have to keep going. So it became a pain in the ass to do anything.
Do a lot of people not go out because of that?
They all drive.
Oh, they all drive.
They drive drunk. They don't care. There's a lot of drunk driving going on in Boston because their last call, I think, is like at 1 a.m.
Isn't it also very, from what we saw, and I understand that we were in the neighborhood, it's all kids who are going to school.
Yeah, no, it's a college town, definitely.
And that, I think as an adult, that would bother me.
It wasn't so bad. It at least made it interesting as far as things going on.
How many colleges are there? Aren't there like four colleges?
At least four.
I mean, Harvard, of course, Boston University, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple others. But yeah, so if you're not into that scene, that's not a town for you.
Who the fuck is into that scene except for college kids?
College kids.
Right.
But, like, there was pressure to, like, hurry up and be drunk because we're not going to be able to have access to alcohol in, like, half an hour. And then everyone that I met had a full bar in their house. Like,
oh, yeah?
They did everything short of, like, lighting up a cheer sign in their basement. Like, everyone had fully stocked bars in their home, just chilling.
Are they out of control because of that?
I don't know that they're out of control, but when they drink with intent. There's no social drinking. Like, this wine is lovely with this steak. It is like, drink this. It has pineapple and Everclear. You can't even taste the alcohol. But I would like to know what's in a cocktail sometimes, no?
Do they party harder in Boston than New York?
they partied a shit faced immediately. Yeah. There's no accident. Like in New York, I've ended up accidentally shit faced. I've never shit faced, but they're like, tonight I'm going and I'm gonna get shit faced. In Boston, it's like, we're gonna get fucking wrecked tonight. Oh,
so you were just being a Bostonian when we were in Boston together.
Yes, no, that time wasn't my fault. That wasn't my fault.
No,
they were pouring full red party cups of like. I tipped it because I tipped the woman New York tipping, and she just, well, I didn't know we had a Rockefeller in the building.
Oh, the bartender loved us in Boston.
Because I was like, oh, $2 a drink is a typical tip that you throw. And I gave her $2 on a $5 drink, and she just looked at me like, I could have put a baby in her. She wouldn't have cared. She was happy.
I remember the live Boston show. You can find it on keithandthegirl.com/live. And I don't... Patrice made it to the stage for a little bit, and right after that, she went upstairs to do karaoke.
I did with the veterans.
She tried to put lipstick on, but she's like, I think I'm missing my mouth. We have all that footage.
And I quit on it. When I realized I was missing my mouth, I put it away.
She hung out in the bathroom for a little while.
I took a break. I don't know why I was still talking about this years later.
She signed.
I was not throwing up. I was not doing anything. I put the seat down on the toilet.
And took a break in the bathroom.
I sat down and centered myself.
I believe she took a Sharpie and signed my Harvard shirt as a favor that I got that day. Tech Andrew.
I helped the shirt.
Tech Andrew, I don't know what they're called, has one of those flesh titty things.
He has one of my... I forgot him. I blacked that out. I've done that more than once.
You know those cutlets women wear?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she took out her cutlets and signed it and gave it to people. And then several people walked out with Patrice signed on their flesh.
None of them asked for it either.
No.
She lost her bra.
Yeah. I think I woke up and everybody was like already awake the next day just looking at me like, you okay, partner?
Were you nervous that like, oh no, I'm going to be the out of control Patrice if I stay in Boston?
No.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm. I was just black all day.
People looking at you funny.
Oh, God.
Did anyone ask you weird questions?
Yes. So where are you from? New York. And then you get the immediate, why are you here? Like, well, how did that happen? Are you
lost,
on the
honey?
Run for crime? What's going on? Why are you here? I would work out of the library in town because it's a really nice older library. And this woman legitimately like circled the table I was at about 6 times. It's a black woman. Circled the table about 6 times. And finally just like, I would, because I'm headphoning. I'm like, I don't see you, bitch, because I swear to God she's about to ask me out on a date. Like, that's how she was looking. She had lust in her face. And finally she just like, she could not play with me anymore. She's like, what do you do? I'm like, excuse? And she's like, oh, she's like tried to start a conversation with me. The poor thing was looking for a best friend.
Yeah, she's walking around that table. That's like drawing half a fish in the sand. You know what I mean?
Do you want to come play with me? And I'm like, oh, baby, I'm not staying. Don't get your feelings hurt. Just let me go. Let me out of your heart.
Aww.
We can, there's two of us now. We could be considered people.
You know, we're a team now. I was adopted by the local Indian family that owned the Indian restaurant.
Because they were a minority also?
Yeah, they were a minority. And like it took me about 3 weeks to find the place. And like most of the food is like the pub sort of food, but with less flavor. Like they don't understand anything with spiciness. And they don't have pizza. If they had told me that before I left, I would have never gone.
Boston doesn't.
They don't have proper pizza. They have games.
They play games with their pizza?
They serve you a fucking game. They want to see how far you'll get before you open it and go, oh, no, no. No, no, I don't want this.
Oh.
I literally was in tears. Like, I just want one. First of all, to get a slice is fucking magic. Like, they don't understand buying a single. Like, apparently, I want a giant box of pizza just for me.
Right.
There's no concept that I want a serving of pizza.
Are people, is it just another city or are people fatter than usual, fitter than usual?
They're a lot more aggro. They're more aggressive than New Yorkers in Boston. They are. There's a weird little undertone of angry. Like, I remember...
all that drinking.
Yeah, and that Irish blood.
And also, I feel like something Dem is saying that there are 8 colleges there.
Wow.
So with 8 colleges and everyone running around between, you know, 18 and 22 years old, that's a lot of anger.
Oh, yeah. But they're also, like, they're weirdly... Like, I know New Yorkers have loyalties to sports teams. They're a lot more vocal about it. Like, I literally went to a nightclub and gave them, because I never got a Boston ID. Oh, check this one. In Boston, I was a non-person because a lot of liquor stores, or the majority of liquor stores.
Like, you're
stores,
not allowed to vote, you mean?
Well, no, that I never would do, but I wasn't allowed to buy alcohol. I could only buy alcohol in clubs if I lied and said that I just moved there and I hadn't gotten a Boston ID. Liquor stores would not accept my physical New York ID.
Wow.
I had to have had something, even if I don't have a driver's license, either a state ID or what they literally call a liquor ID.
What? Why would you have a liquor ID?
An ID just to get drinks.
But if you don't have a regular ID?
No, there was a regular ID option and a liquor ID option. There were two. Like how New York has, I have a New York State non-driver's ID. They had that equivalent, but they also had something called a liquor ID.
Oh.
And homegirl was like, no.
Well, they don't want you coming from another town just to scoop up their alcohol.
Yeah, I'm going to give you all my money and take your alcohol in return. Fuck me. We actually, literally the only time I was there that I was able to purchase alcohol like a human being is when we went to New Hampshire.
The live free or die New Hampshire, right?
Live free and buy wine is what I was able to do in New Hampshire and come back.
How do you like New Hampshire?
Wow.
They're free. You know what I mean?
You can be free. What are you going to do with the freedom?
I want to do something now. I really think they saw the flag. Someone said live free or die. They thought it was a choice and they said die. Nothing's good. No, thank you.
They had a Walmart.
Come here, Keith. Join the movement. We're gonna go secede from the government.
Walmart was nice.
The government doesn't even know you're here. Do whatever you want right now.
Does Walmart own the entire town then?
Yes. It's the full name is Walmart's New Hampshire. Live free or die. Plantations.
It was like the super giant like football field Walmart. And that was it. That was my big New Hampshire adventure. Was Walmart.
And laugh at, hey, I'm just leaving this club. Where can I get a cab? Whole fucking bar laughs at me.
Yeah.
Ta ha! Ta, you drive drunk.
That and they
live free or die.
They charge for food delivery.
Live free, maybe die.
Like they charge and they have minimums and they act like you're an animal if you ask to have it delivered as opposed to coming to pick it up, because everybody's such a car culture that they pick everything up on their own. There's no notion of someone bringing something to you.
So once you moved back, do you feel like there have been changes in New York?
Yeah, I'm not black anymore. It's relaxing.
Mm.
I remember going to my hometown, Somerset, Pennsylvania, and then it just hits you after a little bit, like, there's no black people here. Like, I didn't even notice, obviously, coming from New York. Then I come back to New York, but it didn't register for whatever reason. I was back in New York, and I went, oh, I haven't seen it. There's a black person.
It's got a lot more colorful around here.
Yeah, what are they doing in summer? There's another one. Right.
And no one ever, like, lit a cross or called me nigger to my face, but it was just, like, this weird undertone of, like, if you walk into, like, I walked into a jewelry store, and it was a real, like, okay, so we're going to hurry up and help you so you can leave, because
wow,
we want to know what you want, and then you can get out. Like, they were, like, in full conversation, because, you know, most jewelry stores are, like, glass, you know, out front, and you can see them talking, and they're full on having, like, animated conversation. I walked in, and, like, the Saturday Night Live sketch, the whole room went dead, like. And not an can I help you kind of way. Like, right. Why are you in here? What affairs do you have in here?
Did it matter the age? Will racism be over in two or three generations when people have passed away?
It was weirdly not different. It would be like groups of white guys that were totally sort of not okay with black people. Like, you got a feeling like it was really weird that I was the black person that was brought along. But the whole time they're singing Lil Wayne. Like, pick.
Right.
What are we doing? So I don't think they realize they have it, the ones that I met that had it. It's not blatant and it's not purposeful, but it's there. It comes out in conversation.
Also, I think outside of New York, you don't find neighborhoods with mixed anything.
Right.
It's just you and your own. You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of times when people are new to New York, they tell me, like, I have been the first Jew somebody met a few times, which I was like, what? Because to me, it's like, we're right here, you know? But here, you know, you walk past an Indian person, Chinese, Japanese, black. Like, there's everybody here. You're not going to go, you're not going to be raised in New York and then go outside and go, oh, I never met one of yous.
It's all, you know, what you experience. And there's a different scope going on up there. But no, the sports thing, I went to get into a club and the bouncer, he looked at my ID. He's like, oh, New York. And I'm like, yes. And he's like, you a Yankees fan?
Wow.
And I looked him right in his face. I don't care about baseball. Can I have my ID? And he just kind of looked at me like, well, bitch, I never. And I handed it back.
So it'd be, you know, in the scale of things, obviously the right answer is you're a Red Sox fan. followed by I don't care. And the final wrong answer would be, I know somebody in the Yankees.
Yeah. I'm here to come to the... I didn't come... Are we going to play baseball if I answer wrong?
Right.
What the fuck's going to happen? Move.
Yeah, it gets... Man, these rivalries get a little insane. In fact, I was just reading about... there's a game between the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. It's not like they're a big rival per se, I don't think, unless something's been going on these last couple of years. Well, anyway, an 8-year-old was wearing a New York Jets jersey.
Oh, shit.
At Sunday's matchup between Gangrene and the Cleveland Browns in Ohio, and was pummeled by a blitz Browns fan, a drunk Browns fan, in the parking lot after the game. The Browns fans pelted the boy, who lives in a suburban Cleveland, with hot dogs and expletives for supporting the visiting New York team that beat the Browns 26-20. He suffered minor leg injuries.
And you can't miss... see something. Like, if you're an 8-year-old, you look young. Like, maybe if you're a 14-year-old, you could look
like
an adult.
You're riding that line, you might have gotten taller.
Yeah, maybe like your height and somebody looks at you from behind and it's like, oh, let's throw things at him. But an 8-year-old, you can't mistake an 8-year-old.
No. They're usually attached to a grown-up's hand.
Right.
Especially in a parking lot.
Well, here's the boy's mother described how the father and son outing turned into a horror show in a scathing letter to the Cleveland plane dealer, but I don't know what that means. We knew there would be hecklers, but never would I have thought that my son would be called an expletive to his face or have hot dogs thrown at him. Now, I don't understand, is the dad right there? Did the dad fight anybody? It doesn't seem that way. Like, I don't know if the boy got
maybe
loose.
Maybe he was walking a few steps ahead or behind him. But in a parking lot, you hold an 8-year-old's hand.
But the worst was when he was tackled by a drunk adult male in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine the fear that went through his mind as this buffoon landed on him with full force? It makes me sick to see this very large scrape and bruising he received.
You can kill an 8-year-old by tackling
him.
Heads
are
a grown
soft.
Adult?
Yeah, yeah, their heads are still soft.
The family turned down an offer from the Jets VP to fly them to New Jersey to watch a Jets game from a luxury suite.
To do what?
Oh, come on.
It's sweet, the other team offering something, but...
Yeah, that's weird.
An NFL spokesman said the Browns are investigating the matter. It's going to be a big investigation. I'm going to check every ticket.
Whoever tackled him better just quit life now, because...
The Browns were disappointed in the actions of the unruly fan. I don't think they...
They don't give
They
a
kept
shit.
Them up. All NFL teams are concerned with their fans' game day experience from the time, blah, blah, blah. Outside her home, the mom said, I'm done with this story. I don't want to talk to you guys anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as the reporters, decided to put that in, because fuck her.
Did she really say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She's got to work on who they're suing. She's got to get everybody's name spelled right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Did the dad put up a fight or anything like that? I don't know. But I've been to a game. Last year, Brother Love and I went to a New York Jets game as Jets and Steelers. And you smell it in the air. When I go to a game, I wouldn't be surprised if I got into a fight. That's the truth. And when I haven't been to a game in a long time before that, I understood from the get-go why they stopped serving beer at halftime. Maybe they should do it sooner. Maybe not even have beer. It is, I know this sounds like blasphemy, it is animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is one of these things where I sound like a conservative old fuddy-duddy, but you know what? And I know this is a big thing. You're passing down what you like to your son. Little father and son outing. I'm not surprised by this story, and I think it's irresponsible of him to bring his 8-year-old son to a game.
I can't believe you're saying
that. And I mean that. I can't believe I say that. Is hunting okay to go out with the son? You know,
well, this is why some of those teams have started to have family day, where you have to almost like have a kid to get in. Like they try to, or they have a family section.
Now, why do they do that? Because they're fucking animals. Of course, that's why they do
people
it.
People drinking and shit.
I know, but you can't not be surprised by an 8-year-old being tackled by a grown fucking adult.
You can be surprised. No, definitely.
Please be surprised by that.
I'm not.
That is insane to me.
For who? For me?
I think that, yes, you need to be a little more surprised than just like, of course.
I don't think I've ever been that drunk.
Then I'm stupid. Because I've been to these games... And I see how everybody's acting, and I see total strangers getting upset at I could see this drunk person getting mad and pushing an adult into a grill that they never met, and words weren't even exchanged. They just saw a jersey. But come on, an 8-year-old?
Yes, that's how I feel. Come on, an 8-year-old.
Okay. Why can't these drunk animals just stop at a certain age?
I don't care. How drunk do you... I've never been that drunk where I was like, you know what? I'm fucking up a kid tonight.
That's crazy.
That's not even rational. What? That has nothing to do with alcohol. You're legitimately mad.
Okay. So what? I don't care why.
Well, then that can happen anytime you're walking down the street with your kid. What if he's walking, if they weren't at a game and he's walking down the street and the same guy's drunk and a Jets fan or not a Jets fan?
You can't take kids to a game anymore? That's part of the father-son bond.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
He's not being sarcastic if you're listening to this.
No, I'm not.
That's too much.
And you're looking at me like something's wrong with me. I'm surprised. You're taking him in front of all these fucking animals. Hold on to your kid. I don't know where this dad was with his kid. I don't know why that's not in the story at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to believe he let go his hand and he was a few paces behind him or a few paces in front of him and he got to the action after it started to happen.
Even the mom knows something's going to happen. I expected some expletives. Really? So you have to have a... Nowadays, yeah. You have to have a sit down with your kid and go, okay, now expect the N-word.
Not even. You have to sit down and go, you know what? It's not the right situation necessarily for you to wear this shirt. We can write it. How about we write it right here? We write Go Jets
underneath your shirt.
I'm not saying you can't like the Jets, but you have to, just the way you would tell him that he's not supposed to walk home after dark by himself because he's 8. You call an adult to come get you.
And I got tickets. We're with everybody because things are expensive and they rape you on ticket prices. So kind of, you know, when you want a chair for the team, squeeze my hand. It'll be a fun thing we do.
I didn't think about that, but I mean, wearing the shirt wouldn't have been smart.
I mean, how many times am I reading stories? A guy vomits on another family.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that story?
He vomited on the little boy and the woman.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe it, Keith. Somehow this is my fault. You're taking him into a fucking zoo cage.
That's why I don't like sports.
I'm not surprised. You know, just sit. I expected expletives thrown at my son. That I expected. But tackling? This is beyond. Sure.
Tackling is beyond.
Right.
It is beyond.
Uh-huh.
You tackling don't put hands on a child.
An 8-year-old.
Are you twisting around like some? I'm saying it's okay?
You're not supposed to fight people that weigh less than 100 pounds. It's a general rule for life.
Is this going to be our poll? Take your kids or don't take your kids to the game?
It's going to be who's more in the right, Keith or Hemda. And you can decide what that means.
Oh, okay, no? Fine.
You rate the fucking poll. I'm done with polls. They're the death of me. There, I said it.
It was your idea.
Oh, my.
Ideas changed.
You used to be so funny.
Polls are dumb and they take me all fucking day. Then people go, I don't know the spirit of the poll. The poll, I couldn't be clear. It took me a fucking hour.
It's two sentences.
It's hard.
Why is it hard? There's no prize.
No, you know what? It is hard because it's like, oh, how do we word this so that nobody could misunderstand and that the poll is actually set correctly with the answers being exactly how people feel about your subject?
I wrote that you can take kids to a game because I have a skybox and our family uses a go fuck yourself.
I don't know.
I had a poll. Do you ruin polls? 25%. Yes, I ruin polls. Okay.
The typed word is difficult.
Try to be a scientist in here. My God.
Trying to be a scientist.
Now, these sports make people go crazy. Listen to this. This was a cute little story, and an adult male can't help himself. Do you remember, we'll put this on the website, but it's a middle school. What's middle school? 12 years old or so?
Yeah, 12 to about 14 or 15.
Two football teams.
Oh, shit.
And they play each other.
This is like one of the coolest videos.
And it's now it's like 12 million, 13 million hits, you know, views. And you snap the ball and you start your play and the other team tries to tackle. You don't have to know anything about football to know that. So just nonchalantly, one kid gives the ball to the other person. There's your big snap. Nobody's saying hut or anything like that. So now the game's in motion. The game's in play. That ball's live. You're supposed to tackle that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kid just starts walking right through the team that's ready to approach. Like walking, just
but casually,
looking around.
Yeah.
Casually. Everybody else on his team goes, what the fuck? What the fuck is he doing? They're all in on it. All of a sudden, he gets a little too far and the other teams realize what's going on and he starts running to the other end of the field. Team starts running after him. It's too late. Touchdown. Like, that is
brilliant.
It's legal. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. In fact, I was older than 12. Maybe I'm like 18, and I would play with my buddies. I did that a couple times. I would just walk and go like, I don't know. I'd be like, Keith, do you know we're playing? And I go, I do. Touchdown. I didn't care. And I think it's so smart. Well, now.
Did you get a lot of shit from your friends?
Yeah, like you're an asshole. And I'm like.
I'm an asshole who scored.
Yeah, exactly. Keep an eye on me. I won the big game in the woods.
Don't bring your kids.
I've only been in the woods once. That's interesting.
And I would not bring... Yeah, do not bring your kid to my game in the woods. I'll tackle the shit out of him.
He doesn't even need a shirt.
So anyway, there's this this guy's a sports announcer, and he's complaining about it. He's a sports writer. His name is Frank DeFord. And he says, yeah, it's funny, but it isn't funny. He's saying it isn't funny, and it isn't right. He says this team didn't act instinctively to try to put one over on the ref. He's comparing it to, he makes the case that there's a distinction between trying to con an umpire, like, for example, Derek Jeter pretending to get hit by a pitch this summer and subsequently was awarded first base, and a middle school coach embarrassing the other team.
What's embarrassing? You weren't up on. Pay attention.
The Jeter thing is awful.
I do too, right? Yeah. It's like, no, if you can fool another adult, it's fine.
No, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
The Driscoll team didn't. That's the name of the school. The Driscoll team didn't act instinctively to try to put one over on the ref. The middle schoolers didn't even come up with a ruse. Their coach streamed up the play and even participated in it, hollering from the sideline, like running, you know, yelling, "Run, run, run, Forrest." The referees weren't victimized. In fact, they had to play along. Well, what's play along? It's legal or it's
stand
illegal.
There and watch the child look confused if he's pretending to look confused.
Yeah, they weren't in on it. They're just like, all right, I know the game's in play. Are they supposed to go, whoa, something funny's going on. It's a trick play. No, it was only the other team's kids who were embarrassed and belittled by a children's coach being a wise guy, a bully of sorts. It wasn't genius at all. Sure, it was legal, but it wasn't fair. And laugh at kids being outslicked by a grown-up, and you're cruel. That isn't sport.
Wait, laugh at kids being out, what, by a grown-up?
Because the coach came up with the play.
Yeah. The coach is smarter than these kids. You think that's funny? Well, you're cruel, quite frankly.
No, because, in order to pull it off, you have to be a kid. You still have to be a kid while pulling it off.
The coach didn't run out on the field and slap everybody in the face. Like,
you know what? When it's legal, so it's legal. So make that illegal.
And it's also not a play you can pull off all the time. They can never do that again, for the most part.
You know what would be funny? They keep doing it.
Yeah.
And they win the championship.
They're like, no, they're not really doing it again.
But what a hard-on, right? We all agree with this?
Yeah.
What a douchebag.
He's the father of somebody on the team that lost.
And it's one, it's one play, and they got you. It's embarrassing.
Right.
And you know what? Don't make the kids feel like this embarrassment is a big deal. You know, like, oh, they got you. Like, ah, fuck, whatever.
Right.
You lost that one play. Yeah. And it's one play.
And now it's time to kick the asses.
Exactly, And let's all laugh about it. Don't you want to teach your kid to laugh about that? To be like so super embarrassed that your dad's getting upset,
Like gym coaches and things like that. They're not the funniest guys on the block. So maybe not a laugh at it lesson, but how about just a lesson?
Mm-hmm.
Stay alert.
Yeah, fuck it. This is, it's... The problem is they're taking out competition for kids,
they're
and competition
assholes.
Is okay.
They're raising really, really sensitive shit revolves around me assholes.
Yeah, don't take either side of it too seriously.
They're children. How about that? How about you leave them alone because they're children? Let them be children with
each
other.
It's a game.
You're grown. Why are you involved in children's affairs?
Pete, by the way, is writing from Blitzburg. Do they still call it that? They start, people go into these games, regular people, start tailgating and drinking at 6 a.m. for 1 p.m. kickoff.
Good Lord.
Is that where you take your kid? Is that where you should take your kid?
Not Brian. To the parking lot, to tailgate.
Brian. Not to the parking lot, you should parachute in.
Keith Mallett.
Brian Alt is saying about this thing, that's bull. If I'm the coach and I come up with a great lineup, am I cheating?
Right.
You can't blame the coach for, somebody, for the kids executing
if he's telling them to, give knees on purpose or something, physically harmful, that's different.
And that's also illegal, though.
Yeah.
It's a tricky play. You have some tricky plays. How about the play where you pretend to pass it to someone, but the one guy still has it?
Yeah, they're liars.
I think that's even more fucked up,
right?
Because...
be nice.
Yeah.
All these fakes people are doing. Pass it or don't pass it. Bunch of liars out there. And to make kids, turn them into liars, of all things? The sweetness of
children?
Because
that won't happen eventually.
The U.S. Department of Labor is telling you the top 10 most secure jobs for 2011.
Well, time to switch careers. Everybody listen?
Number one.
I hate hearing about this because there's nothing I can do. Whatever's on
list,
right.
I can't do anyway.
You have to have gone to technical school of some sort. It's going to be like nurse, x-ray technician.
Doctor. Okay, I'll become a doctor now.
What is it? Hospice care. It's always some strange ass shit. Dental technician.
I think Patrice is pretty close,
right? Am I guessing the list?
Nurse is number one.
Uh-huh.
Wow, Patrice.
There's always a nurse shortage. For to the end of time, there will be a nurse shortage.
No wonder there's such assholes. A lot of nurses are assholes.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of your parents or a lot of nurses are listening. But yeah, maybe it's just in New York. And some of them really are lovely. And I hear wonderful stories about my, you know, my husband was in the hospital and there was this one nurse that blah, blah, blah. I don't know if it's just New York or just the nurses that I've experienced. Half of them, I'm going to say half. Half of them, I've been like, can you get out of here?
They're being generous and you know it.
I think
they're
half, no,
jaded.
Because,
they're jaded asshole. Yeah. It's not asshole like to the very core. You could tell they might be nice in their normal life.
I don't know
but
about
they,
that.
But they fuck around and like have to cut through so much fucking paperwork and then procedure that then when you just say, look, my stomach hurts and I think I might die. Well, because you're so special. Like they...
Yeah, they have that you're so special vibe.
They're
exactly.
at work and there's like a quit in their eyes from being like shitted on for a while.
Right. But the top four of the 10 are all in the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say I'm surprised. 2 physical therapists, 3 pharmacists, 4 physician and surgeon. Because other jobs you have, you finish. You build a house, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
These... Well, you're going to see me for the rest of my life, aren't you, doctor, you fucking piece of shit, scumbag, no cure, motherfucker.
And it's probably in the public sector, too, because a lot of doctors go and get that money and become, you know, right. private. They're not fucking around in public hospitals.
5, computer systems analyst and administrator. 6, computer software engineer. 7, biomedical and environmental engineer. It's like they all go together. 8, accountant, because they gotta keep track on where all you're losing all your money. And it's mm-hmm. like, to the doctors. And they're like, well, we can break it down. Doctors, nurses. 9, veterinarian, just another doctor. And 10, lawyer, because you got to sue these doctors.
These are all the career day choices.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. that's true.
I'm going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a vet.
But maybe there are a lot of them available because people now have other options other than doctor, lawyer, mm-hmm. you know.
A Long Island nurse has been charged with breaking into medical offices and sifting through piles of waste to steal still potent pain-killing patches that he'd suck for a popular new high.
Ugh. Oh, he had it bad.
So you go in there, you get like you have some kind of patch, I guess you're probably wearing it for pain, and the doctor goes, okay, we can throw this out, and ugh. You know, you're going to be better. And they go in the garbage, and they suck it. They suck the medicine off like an avocado.
That's dumb because all those pharmaceutical reps come and just throw shit like confetti. Why weren't you getting them properly? I've seen Nurse Jackie.
He's 33 years old, Eric St. Louis. He was arraigned yesterday for allegedly stealing the synthetic fentanyl drug that delivers 50 to 100 times the painkilling punch of morphine.
Whoa. Yo, and morphine's the shit.
And this is going right down your throat.
Whoa. Well, but oh my God, is it wrong that I just feel bad? Like, you have to be hard.
He's
up.
Got it bad because I've yeah. had morphine before. I considered a life of crime and drugs, and I had it within the hospital in the right context, and I was like, I could do this for the rest of my life.
Here's a story about this just makes me sick. I don't know if you can tell. I'm a little anti-doctor. A Brooklyn mom sued a Long Island hospital yesterday because here's what happened. She's 30 years old. 30. She was undergoing a gynecological operation. I don't want to jump ahead. I just want to tell you what happened. A doctor punctured her intestines during a procedure.
Ow, this already hurts. It hurts so much.
It triggered an infection, blood poisoning, and gangrene in her lower legs.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you get gangrene?
You got to take it off.
She had to get both her legs amputated.
Yeah, when you go septic, it's no turning back. They got to start taking pieces off to preserve the rest of the pieces.
Stacy Gillette, 30 years old, lost both her feet and is enduring endless pain. It looks like it was cut off above the ankle.
Well, then maybe, no.
Because you punctured something.
A better situation, but yeah.
You see these doctors. They're walking around. They're really not. They're not giving you you're telling them what's wrong. They're not paying attention. Am I right or wrong?
Well, I've had bad experiences with doctors.
Yeah.
Once you read off that they're a wanted profession on that list, a lot of them are probably overworked. If there's less of them to go around.
I mean, I
it's not an excuse.
I go to nurse practitioners now, mm-hmm. and I am in love with them.
I do love a good nurse practitioner.
Yeah, they truly, truly listen. Mm-hmm. And if they're faking, they are great actors also. Because mm-hmm. they will sit there until I'm done talking about what it is right. that I'm concerned with. I mean, we're talking about, I only go for birth control.
Right.
It's like, what are they really going to chat with me about birth control? But I get worried. Like, is birth control okay? I'm putting something in my body every day, and they will sit there and go, yeah. And if I have a question, because they're running all these tests, I'm like, why would you be running this test and not that test? I don't have insurance. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, you know, they will sit and discuss it with me. You know, there's certain things where now that I'm over 30, I have to absolutely get these tests, right. You know. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, thank you. You know, you don't feel like they just run you in and then run you out, and you're just at the mercy. And what did you?
It's not
what happened
paper
at the
gowns
doctor?
And slamming doors.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're at the hospital. You're telling, or a doctor's office, and you're telling what's wrong. You know they're not looking, and then at the end of it, they look at you. Did the TV tell you to ask me about something?
Yeah.
And it's like, just fucking forget it.
What kind of medicine do you want? Can you not ask me what kind of medicine
I
want?
I've been asked that before. How many milligrams did he say it was supposed to be? You call him, because this is for drugs.
Yeah, this is for real.
Yeah.
This woman has a 10-year-old daughter, by the way.
Oh.
So good luck taking care of her. She was supposed to be in and out in one day, but since spent countless days in the hospital and physical therapy, then probably had the balls to charge her, you know? She probably has to pay for all this.
He probably fucked up hardcore, because I've had the surgery that she's had before, and it's laparoscopic. They basically cut a hole in your belly button, so he got in there and, like, sneezed or something.
Gross.
Man. As a matter of hospital policy, we don't comment on pending litigation, says a hospital spokesman.
That means we're going to have to pay her a lot of money.
You know what? When you're a hospital and you realize we're going to need a spokesman.
All hospitals have spokesmen.
I know, but what year did that start? Doctors discharged her after the initial operation, but the next day, she says, my stomach started to swell and I went back in. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? See, that... What job do you like? My cabinets are all fucked up. Keep coming over my house and keep not fixing my cabinets. You know what I mean? But you're going to keep going to the same doctor.
Well, she went back to the hospital, period.
Doctors performed subsequent surgeries but failed to stop the cascading damage.
Yikes.
During her second visit to the hospital, she went into cardiac arrest and had to be put in a medically induced coma for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
She also suffered permanent partial hearing loss.
What?
And was put on 18 different medications. Yeah, doctors know what they're doing. 18 medications. This one will...
Well, it was probably for all... You keep reading things that are wrong with her. Okay. She's going to need a pill for each one of those.
And then an antibiotic to
come
back in and swoop and take care of all
that. Yeah, and a pill for when you're taking too many pills.
Before the procedure, she was married, living on Long Island and working full time. Now she's going through a divorce, living with her mother.
Goddamn.
And struggling to learn how to walk again.
Her husband's fucked up, because there have been some other bitches that have some crazy shit happen to them and the husbands hang out.
I don't know. They're saying it like it's sad, though. She's living with her mother. Seems fine to me. Despite her troubles, she said she's battling to stay upbeat. I'm trying to make progress, she says.
Right. Oh, my God.
There was another woman who... Her husband stayed with her, though. Well, technically not her husband, but she had a bachelorette party.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this earlier.
Oh, my God.
I know. I wonder if he's like, okay, I could hang out for like another couple months, but this is not what I signed up for.
That's true, because it is from the neck down paralysis. It's full
on. No, wasn't it from the waist down?
No, I thought it was from the neck down.
That's quadriplegic, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, then no, it wasn't.
I don't know.
Little Lip from Indy is saying, I'm diabetic, and they gave me glucose without telling me. Fucked up my blood sugar, exacerbated the infection, etc.
Yeah, because when you're diabetic, it's harder for you to heal, period, so glucose is not cute.
She had the sugar.
Only if she was black. You have to check if she was black. Only black people can get the sugar. Everyone else has diabetes.
You know the rent is too damn high party guy?
My right? Boo, Jimmy McMillan.
Yeah, Jimmy McMillan. He's funny, right? I don't know what he wants to do, but the rent is too damn high.
He hasn't Patrice paid left rent since the 70s.
Patrice left the city. It's too damn high.
You can't argue with a party call, the rent is too damn high.
You can't argue with their facial hair.
Oh, yeah, he's got like mutton chops.
He's got the colonel.
He has the colonel. Well, he's suing, by the way. Here, if anybody doesn't know who I'm talking about, this is a guy that ran for mayor in New York City. He, of course, lost. Mario Cuomo, of course, won.
Not of course. I was scared. I was scared the day of that too many people would vote for him as a joke, and we would fuck around and end up with him elected.
I can use cheaper rent. It wouldn't have bothered me. Here's the guy we're talking about. This is from October 18th.
I represent the rent is too damn high party. People are working 8 hours a day and 40 hours a week, and some a third job. Women can't afford to take care of their children, feed their children breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My main job is to provide a roof over your head, food on the table, and money in your pocket. This is politics as usual. playing a silly game. It's not going to happen. The Rent Too Damn High movement, the people I'm here to represent can't afford to pay their rent. They're being laid off right now as I speak. They can't eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Listen, someone's stomach, child's stomach just growled. Did you hear it? You got to listen like me.
Okay.
Let's talk about the issue.
People can't afford to pay their rent. 30 seconds for you, sir.
Rent is too damn high.
It's kind of cute, but you're supposed to speak real English when you run, I think.
Here's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Here's another, him talking in another debate.
As a karate expert, I will not talk about anyone up here because our children can't afford to live anywhere.
As a karate expert, I never understood that.
No.
Well, he's saying, I figured this out. As a karate expert, you're supposed to have like a fair fight and not speak ill of your opponent. So he's saying, even though they're in a debate, he's not going to negatively speak of the opponent. He's only going to talk about what he's going to do.
Okay.
Because I ran around telling people as a karate expert for about 2 weeks. As a karate expert, fuck her. Because she called me the other day on some bullshit. And as a karate expert, I'm not dealing with her bullshit.
I took it like, as a karate expert, you're taught not to fight. And you're supposed to be calmer.
So, I thought he was being like,
mm. I like Patrice's explanation.
Right, right.
Nowhere. There's nowhere to go. Once again, why?
Oh, hold on.
Did you hear it? You got to listen like me.
But can't afford to pay the rent. 30 seconds for you, sir.
Rent is too damn high. As a karate expert, I will not talk about anyone up here because our children can't afford to live anywhere. Nowhere. There's nowhere to go. Once again, why? You said it. The rent is too damn high.
Thank you, Mr. McMillan. Mr. Cuomo.
First, I'm with Jimmy. The rent is too damn high.
Rent too damn high, party for you. If you want to marry a shoe, I'll marry you.
That's right.
And it goes back to him later. I guess, you know, what do you think about gay marriage? Hey, you want to marry a shoe? I'll marry you. I don't give a shit. I'm worried about the rent. The rent's too damn high.
Marry footwear. I don't give a fuck.
I like it. Let's focus on one thing right now, and that's high rent. Other things will fall into place.
Jimmy McMillan hasn't paid rent since the 70s.
Now, how come?
He's the superintendent of his apartment building, so the rent is included in his wages. But he notices for others that the rent happens to be
that's
too damn
nice.
High.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, he's suing, by the way. He's suing the Board of Elections. For $350 million.
That's too damn high.
That's for his next campaign.
Yeah.
Now, he's the founder of the Rent is Too Damn High party. Is there more than one person in this party?
I don't know, but he has an album.
But I think you're supposed to have a certain amount of people backing you where
to
there's
become a, party?
A certain amount of people signing that, yes, you know, go ahead and have your party.
Well, if he came up to you on the street with a clipboard, would you tell him no? Just for shits and giggles, you'd sign it.
That beard might throw me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the look might...
You're saying he has an album.
He has an album and a song. He has a song for sure, and I think he has an album.
That he put out?
Yes.
Okay, here's the Rent is Too Damn High song.
I think that's SNL, though.
Yeah, it might be tricky.
Hold on, I turned off the... you think it's a skit?
It could be.
He's sitting outside of an apartment building in a lawn chair, and he has a boombox, the one that I saw.
Of course he does.
Yeah. All right, let's see what this is.
Welcome to the New York gubernatorial debate. I'll be your DJ this evening. Take it away.
I represent the rent is too damn high party.
Wait, no, that's a remix thingy.
That's like people doing
but
it for him.
I'll find it, but there's legitimately a video of him performing.
Yeah, I'll put it on the website, I guess. No, I won't. Fuck it. No poll, no websites, I'm done.
Good Lord.
Yeah, when the show's done, it's done.
Farms are closing in 10 minutes.
The founder of the Rent is Too Damn High party is outraged that in 2006, when he ran for governor, three years later, when he ran for mayor, so this isn't the first time he's playing this game, the board took the word damn off the ballot line. It's a violation of constitutional rights, he said. Acting as his own attorney, surprise, McMillan insisted he's undeterred that a judge tossed an earlier $50 million lawsuit. So $50 million didn't go through, let's do $350. We know we're going to win.
Maybe they take $350 seriously.
He knows we're going to win. I'm filing the appeal papers now. I want the Board of Elections to pay for the years that they stripped us from the ballot to pay us money damages. They really broke our party up. The state agency said it took the action not because they were sensitive or, you know, they didn't want to have the word damn. They did it because it was simply too long. State law requires party titles be uniformly printed, and placing the full name of McMillan's party on ballots would require its typeface to be too small. Then make it, make everything bigger. I don't know.
Just for this one man? Nothing's supposed to be standing out. Everything's supposed to be standard, so you don't favor anything visually.
So you can change his name?
But maybe also he should have considered that when he was running. Or when he started his party.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they should have said something to him, too. Like, yeah. Hey, homie, it's not going to fit on the paper.
But that's, they should have said something. Yeah. They didn't say something, and they should have said something.
Maybe he could have shortened it how he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you can't just ask him, in all fairness. I don't even think that's fair. Like, you got to change it. But that's the name of my party, though.
Right.
Rent is too damn high. How about rent is too high? Like, that's not...
The damn is the kicker.
Yeah, it's not my party, though. Why not unicorns? You know what I mean? You're making shit up now. And if I went into the booth, and I know I'm voting for the rent is too damn high party, I'd feel like something was up if I see the rent is too high party. I'm like, no. I'm not going to McDonald's.
Well, they put the number two instead of T-O-O.
They did once, but they didn't this last time.
But they also didn't write damn, right?
Well, maybe, you know what they did? His party name on the November 2nd ballot was condensed to rent number two is number two.
I voted.
Damn high party.
Yeah.
That, oh, you did vote?
Yeah, that's what it said.
Even though the board contends his lawsuit has no merit, it did manage to find a way to try to appease him in the last election. So I guess the first time they took it out, this time they gave him the number two. He's still looking very much like a candidate as he strode into the courthouse wearing a carefully tailored navy blue suit, his sideburns bristling and his silver hair immaculately coiffed. Had even more to vent about, he's disappointed with President Obama.
Oh, no.
He said he invited the commander-in-chief to New York to discuss the nation's economic problems and go on a walking tour featuring foreclosed homes. But McMillan said he didn't show.
The nerve.
Right. I'm going to guess that he didn't say he was going to come and not make it. He didn't show. Obama's only response, he said, was an impersonal form letter printed on White House stationery.
Oh,
and
he's really concerned.
Didn't even respond to the Evite.
The McMillan said the snub prompted him an ultimatum. He said, I'm going to give him one more chance.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to send a letter off to Obama this week. If he doesn't respond to that letter, then I'm going to run for president of the United States of America.
I'll show him.
I may run on my party line or I may run as a Democrat, he said with a grin. I have the supporters. The heat is on.
I don't know that you have the supporters.
They can solve that entire lawsuit with a fifth of Jack and a Marvin Gaye CD.
He said so many people named are making songs about me. You can't even find the real song. They're all supporters. I have a lot of supporters. There's this thing. I don't really follow it because it involves reading. But WikiLeak.
Leak, yes.
And it's and I know like it was in the news fairly recently. We have a documentation the public isn't supposed to see about what we're doing in Afghanistan and
text
Iran.
Messages, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I know one was like, here we have a 600-page document on what's going on in Iraq, and it's like, you better narrow that down. You know, who cares?
Cliff's notes? No.
Yeah. Nobody's reading it. 600 pages. Okay. Hope it's not too fucked up.
Maybe somebody's mom is reading it.
Maybe.
You know?
You can get in there and control F.
Well, I don't know why the creator of WikiLeaks thinks he's not going to be looked into. But Swedish prosecutors will seek an international arrest warrant for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange after a court approved a request yesterday to detain him for questioning in a rape case.
Oh, no.
He's a 39-year-old Australian. He's suspected of rape, sexual molestation, and unlawful coercion in an investigation that stems from his encounters with two women during a visit to Sweden in August. He has denied the allegations and insisted the sex was consensual.
So he's not even being arrested for WikiLeaks. He's being arrested for rape.
Right. Okay. Right. But it's like, you better have done nothing wrong if you're
yeah, you better not
putting out these documents. Or could this be the world government fucking with him? Maybe, America is getting along with Sweden, being like, whatever it takes, let's arrest this fucking guy on something.
Well, then wouldn't it be a little easier to charge him with something that doesn't involve two women?
Two live bodies. Like, get him for murder.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, these women have to account for their stuff.
They have to act in court and all that stuff.
Acting like you've been raped.
And plus, I think the whole being in charge of something like WikiLeaks might give you a little bit of ego situation, and you think all the bitches want you.
Well... I don't know. I would assume people are looking into me if I'm giving out everybody's business. An angry New Jersey minister wants an 11th commandment that would bar married couples from using Facebook. He's the Reverend, I'll explain. He's the Reverend Cedric Miller, and he's demanding that his church elders delete their accounts on a social networking site because it's leading to too much sexual temptation and ruining too many marriages.
Oh, fucking religion.
Ugh. Set your privacy settings better. It's not that serious.
Some of these people are actually using it to look at their grandchildren's pictures because that's the only way their children are sending them those.
Well, womp womp, what'd you do wrong when they were growing up?
Well, I'm just saying that some people are just... Some people are just, you know...
They didn't even care enough to set up a Flickr.
It's, you know, if you're tempted, then you're tempted. I don't know.
That means
crazy.
They really didn't want you in the pictures because I don't want my grandparents on Facebook. I don't want them on Facebook finding me and I have to come make something in their diner or tend their farm because old people don't use it for the right reasons.
I don't know. Mind your business, preacher man.
You know?
I didn't think, by the way, going back for a second, to check the website, rentistoodamnhigh.org.
Nice.
But I probably should have went there before I mentioned it.
Is it GeoCities?
It's not loading up.
Yeah, it's GeoCities.
That's how popular he is, Keith.
You know?
Doug wrote me and said it's here, and I'm like, okay, I believe you.
The domain hosting is too damn high.
So maybe all of a sudden the song will start. We'll see in a little bit. So he's saying, Miller said that 20 couples out of the 1,100 in his Living Word Christian Fellowship Church have hit the rocks after one of the spouses re-sparked relationship with old flames on the site.
But
with the
like, seriously?
With the flood of Facebook-inspired trouble, Miller has given the roughly 50 high-ranking officers at the Neptune Church until Sunday to log out for good. So you can have 2 days or so.
Oh, that's so unfair.
I'm going to ask them to lead by example. I'm going to say if the potential for evil is there, then cut it off and I'll make a strong biblical case for them to oblige. Miller had already asked that members of the church give their spouses their logon info so that they couldn't secretly reconnect with their past loves or meet new paramours online, but it hasn't been working.
Of course not. How about, you know, it used to be that if you're cheating, there's only one phone that person can get in touch with you
right.
on. You know, maybe your business line, but you know, at home
you had the one phone. You had to do the one
answering
ring and
machine.
Hang up and
yeah. Now you have your own phone. You have text messaging. You don't have to sound funny when you're on the phone. You just have to text that person back. I mean, there's so much bullshit.
You're pretty much a dummy if you're cheating on Facebook at this point.
I think you can. I think it's
too easy.
No, but it's another way to cheat. But there are a zillion ways out there, and I think maybe if you're looking for your old flame, maybe you already have that in mind.
That's what I'm saying. Why is it, like, this church, why is it such a haven for adulterous people? What's going on in all these relationships? Like,
maybe you're not putting God in them enough every Sunday.
The Lord's on Facebook.
He said that the problem with Facebook-inspired cheating really hit home when he did 3 marriage counseling sessions in 2 days with people who said the website was the origin of their troubles. I've been in extended counseling with couples with marital problems because of Facebook for the last year and a half. What happens is someone from yesterday surfaces, it leads to conversations, and there have been physical meetups. The temptation is just too great. Although he is ordering the church leaders to delete their Facebook pages, he is not going to make the same demand of his church members.
Then that's dumb.
Although he said he is going to strongly suggest they dump the site.
What do you think about that, Keith?
If you're that religious, you're not supposed to have, you know, you
but everything's a temptation.
Then get everything out of your life.
Everything but your spouse, then, you know, then I think that's when temptation comes, is you miss another human being, and suddenly another human being becomes temptation.
Contact. Yeah, everyone will become temptation.
There
then.
Is no getting rid of temptation. There is believing in your marriage and in your relationship. There is taking care of each other. There is making yourselves grow together. Not making yourselves, but there is, like, you know, feeding into your own relationship. Temptation, you will never take out.
So why bother?
But you can bother. The more your relationship is good and is solid, the less temptation is temptation.
Because when the old flame pops up and say, girl, you still look good all these years later. I know, my husband thinks so too.
Yeah, the end.
End of the conversation. Why are we going on with these back? Remember that time we did it in the back of the truck in 1972? No, but I might tell my husband about it later when I do recall. You shut it down before it happens if you're actually in a relationship that's working. You're not entertaining any of this shit.
You don't think people get hit on all the time? Keith, your entire podcast is a temptation. People are looking at you. You're very funny. You're very charismatic. I'm sure you get emails going, hey, meet me over here and let's do this over there.
I'm going to be in New York for these dates. Want it?
Exactly. Of course. Of course, we're both getting emails like that.
Who's emailing you?
I'm not your girlfriend anymore.
It's still strange.
I like to pee around things.
But, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? There are the couples that go, you can't go out without me. You can't do this without me. Mm-hmm. Who's calling you? Why are they calling you?
You were looking for it anyway, if you're really like that out of the box and you're cheating off of Facebook like that.
Things are not tempting when things are all right.
So why? Well, then maybe things aren't good enough for these people, so they should get off Facebook.
The couple should. I don't think you should shut down an entire church from using something because of
it. Well, he's not.
Talk to these individual couples. All the church elders, they didn't do anything. Talk to the couples you're dealing with and have it be with them. Have them have some responsibility, too. Why are you cheating on Facebook? Facebook didn't make you cheat. Facebook did not make you hit accept request. You could have said no from the get if you knew it was a problem.
This is...
There were people... remember that guy, Keith, that we ran into... And, like, I had slept with him. And then later on, he sent me an email. Like, remember that night? I was like, excuse me? I just re-encountered with you with my boyfriend, clearly. Mm-hmm. We were clear about that. Go fuck yourself. Should I stop emailing? Should I stop putting my email out on there? It's too tempting.
You should never email.
But you know what I mean? I mean, it's the same temptation. It's the same, hey, you, I found you.
And you should be able to say, too, to whoever you're with, I got the most fucked up email today. This person thought I was going to sleep with him again.
Yeah,
he sent me an email.
It. No.
And not because you're covering your ass, because it's a genuine conversation.
The way I dealt with that is I didn't respond, but no. I knew if he were to try again, I'd be like, you know what? This is really wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm not interested in these emails. And I'm with someone. And you know that. So you're kind of being a jerk. Mm-hmm. Actually, you are being a jerk.
You're a douche.
Pardons.
You ladies are passionate. I don't know.
I think it's a little wrong to blame something else.
Something's already broken. Yeah.
Yeah, on the troubles in your relationship.
If somebody has a drinking problem, should they go to the bars? Or maybe they shouldn't.
But he's not saying
he's not addressing the right
people. If they want to drink, they'll drink anyway.
He's not saying if you have an issue, get off Facebook or like mind your home. He's saying everybody on Facebook is tempted, mm-hmm. and this will only lead to bad things. It's not the specifics that I'm upset about. It's that he just puts a blanket statement like this.
He did a wide net on a small problem.
Yeah.
And he's not even dealing with the couples. He's telling church elders not to be. What the hell do they have to do with it? They're probably using Facebook to tell you when the next prayer meeting is or figure out whose child they're touching.
Who knows? And maybe they are cheating. So those are the ones that should watch
address the people who are the problem.
Elliot Sabrivi knows firsthand the trouble that Facebook can cause in marriage. His wife discovered his 2,000 flirtatious female friends on his page.
2,000?
Mostly fitness models and bodybuilders. You know what's funny?
That's weird.
I bet it's all that spam. And he thinks chicks are really hitting on him. Like, you look sexy and genuine. Meet me for pics.
He's friends with 2,000 men in Nigeria.
I would get several emails a week saying how gorgeous I was, and here's my phone number. These girls didn't care that I was married, and my page said so. I didn't want to cheat on my wife, but these women were throwing themselves at me.
Oh, I think you're right, Keith. What a bunch of shit.
They were coming on a little too strong. I could see infidelity being eventual.
He should get off.
You know what I heard in that sentence, too? My wife doesn't pay me any fucking attention, and somebody told me I was pretty.
But you know what? I'm looking at a picture right here, and...
he's not that gorgeous.
The wife... Well, he's just a dude, but...
He's very strapping.
The wife is staring at the camera upset. The guy's behind her, like leaning over her.
We in the paper.
he's giving a look to potential Facebookers. Tell me he's not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see
him. Hey.
You know me, as seen on the internet.
He's from Howell, New Jersey. He is a member of the church that we were just talking about. His experience is one of the tales of Facebook woe that convinced the pastor to issue his edict barring the site. He said his extensive online social life is wrecking havoc on their marriage. His wife, quote, was very hurt. She felt like I was deceiving her.
Okay, but your extensive anything outside of your marriage, mm-hmm. you know, if you're paying more attention to anything, to your, you know, to your female friends, you know, if you're putting...
hobby, a sport.
Yeah, if you're putting other things above it, then it's not that thing that's leading you to it. It's that maybe something's going on. And if you recognize it, you do something about it.
We started having secrets, and it was because of Facebook. The two went to Miller to save their marriage, the Reverend Cedric Miller. He began counseling them with one of the key steps, getting rid of his Facebook page. He never said Facebook is evil, but slippery slopes are just bad. Opportunities would continue to knock and test our fortitude. Apparently nobody is hitting on me on MySpace, and I'm allowed to go back there.
He'll be fine. It's just music.
Hey, tell me this. I saw the... Did you see the ad for Beyonce's new perfume? I guess yes. It's an overseas ad.
I kept waiting for her nipple to fall out.
I think everybody else kept also.
Kenda saw it, and she said, like, what's new? This is same old, same old. I thought it was more racy than any perfume ad I've seen yet.
Don't get me wrong. I do think it's extremely racy. Oh, yeah. The commercials that I've been seeing lately, I really am dumbfounded. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
It was daytime TV racy, which is where they had the problem playing it and why they banned it. But it was, she was just oiled up, basically.
To me, she's doing that thing, you know, fingers over the mouth. You know, that's saying put a dick hair.
What's the the liquor or whatever that is, it's Bailey's, I think it is, and the girl takes the ice and puts it on her mouth like, I'm not done.
And then hands, and the bartender's like,
like, what the hell just happened to me? I think I just came into my pants. Come on.
And Bailey's, by the way, is a cream liqueur.
I think this was worse. She's taking her hands over her tits. You are waiting for that nipple to show.
Yeah, because that dress didn't seem secure to her body at all.
And let me say this, by the way. Banned in Europe, for God's sakes. You know, can you imagine that? And is this for women or men?
For women.
It's for women.
Heat's for women.
But it's for women.
No. Who's the commercial for?
Oh, men to buy the perfume for women.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be fucking Beyonce if I buy this for my fat wife.
Close your eyes real hard.
Well, I also think it's for women, like, look at how you're going to smell. Mm-hmm. Like, you're driving men crazy.
She's about to go tear up the whole club.
Yeah. No, I think it's for women. It's like, oh, put this on and you will smell like sex.
All right.
I can't believe people are buying into it.
And it doesn't smell that good.
You put perfume on and suddenly you're touching your titties in public and it looks good.
You're just standing there.
That is so stupid. Patricia's,
I have an obsession by Calvin Klein. Obsession. Obsession. No.
Thank you for the show, Patricia.
You're welcome. I try to do what I can.
Tall glass of chocolate, I said, right?
Yeah.
Now it comes together.
It does.
Man, yeah, I guess, right? You see this ad and you're like, all of a sudden, I'm Beyonce? Like,
I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm a fat accountant. I buy this perfume. I'll be going to all the parties with Jay-Z. I don't know.
Everybody loves Jay-Z.
I think it's more like, well,
I don't get the ads. I look in GQ and I'm like, who wants to be one of these homos? Why am I getting this cologne? Do I own a yacht now because I'm buying this cologne?
That Dracar Noir is the serious business.
I just buy Dracar Noir. I don't got to go to the gym.
No.
I'm going to buy this cologne. Now I'll be a pretentious deuce with a 12-pack.
Has sit-ups in it.
It's that easy. Okay. Why would I want a perfume that looks like a torso?
Oh, the Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use torso cologne. Okay. All right, then. Let me mention this. The show today brought to you by the Permanent Record Podcast. The Permanent Record is a weekly podcast, Patrice, from 230-something Minnesotans. Small-town news, celebrity gossip, TV, movies, and their daily lives are all discussed.
What?
There's a new Harry Potter movie out. I bet they're going to talk about it.
I saw it on Tuesday. It was good.
If they don't, they have to now.
Mm-hmm.
It's wicked yet sweet. Go to thepermanentrecordpodcast.com for shows and more information. You dug the new Harry Potter?
I did. I loved it.
He's his voice cracking or anything?
It's on the other side. He's in grown-up mode. Honestly, I wouldn't take a child under maybe about 12 to see this one.
Oh, my God. What, Patrice? You wouldn't take a child to a Harry Potter movie? This is sad. This is just sad.
Not for fear of physical violence, but for mental damage.
Because the movie's so dumb.
No, there's a lot of dead bodies and a lot of looking into dead eyes. And there's this, a lot of not... Like, if you have a kid who's kind of skittish, he might not be ready.
Does Harry Potter do the new Zigger Excelsior spell?
Don't make fun.
You don't know about that one?
It's the only thing I got. Don't make fun.
This is part one of... This is the final movie.
Right.
But there's another...
Half,
which is a full-length movie.
You know, money, and it's the biggest of the book. Like, it had the most story.
All right.
I don't find this Harry Potter very realistic.
That's good. You shouldn't.
And I look at you and my brother as children into this movie.
Well, you know, what am I going to do? It's the one thing.
How many movies are there? Like six, right?
I don't smoke. I don't drink. Well, I know I drink. I don't
I don't drink.
I forgot about the drinking. But no, I don't smoke. I don't beat my wife. I don't.
There's been 6 Harry Potter movies, right?
Yes, this is the 7th, and the next will be the 8th.
Wow. This is a cash cow.
It's been gone on for almost a decade.
Is Harry Potter fucking that girl yet?
He's not with that one. He's going to end up with another one.
Is he with the one from the other wizard school?
No, he's with the sister. His best friend's sister. He's going to end up with
the nerdy guy's sister.
His best friend. Yeah, Ron's sister. Redhead's sister.
Ron, yeah. That's where. Are they getting along?
They're getting along now. We're building up to the
Keith, watch the
eventual
movie or don't.
No, this is good.
But Ron and Hermione, the girl.
Right.
The main girl, they end up together.
They're together. The Weasleys.
Yeah. Well, no, he's a Weasley.
She will be, so.
She will be when they get married.
Might as well admit
movie.
It.
Yeah.
Did they get married in the next movie?
Oh, yeah. My God.
She's 14.
He wants to watch the movie so bad, and he's making fun of
you.
Look
next
how
movie,
interested he is.
The next movie continues from where they stopped here, where they're still in school, and then we do a flash forward about 10 years, and then they're married.
When does Harry cheat and fuck Hermione? Because we knew
J.K. Rowling got to get back on. In about 5 years, when she runs out of some of the money, she'll come back with, you know.
Wouldn't that be funny? She does one for adults.
Yeah, the less than zero version of Harry Potter.
Keith, look how not interested you are in this movie.
It was pretty.
Well, I just got all the information I needed.
Okay.
No, you did. It was pretty. It was a lot harder this time. Like, they're supposedly better magicians, so like when they appear and disappear and do spells and shit, it's real violent. It's not the way it was when the first one where they're kind of like, oh, I'm going to swirl through this chimney.
Right.
It's like, no, you're going to get hit in your fucking head with a knife. And it was different.
Did anybody get turned into a frog?
No.
Who gets turned into an animal? Things keep happening to this Weasley, right?
A snake ate a woman. He ate her. He ate her whole.
Wow.
Yeah. You didn't get to see that, but the snake came at you.
Is it in 3D?
I believe it's in IMAX.
IMAX?
Yes.
What a treat that would be. Watch Quidditch in IMAX?
There's no Quidditch at all in
what?
This one.
What?
None.
Is it banned because it's so fucking dangerous for children?
Well, because now we have real Quidditch. The Quidditch Cup was here in New York last weekend.
There's Quidditch in real life where you fly on brooms.
Yeah, there's like 20-something different universities that have Quidditch teams.
What are you talking about?
Look it up, World Quidditch Cup. It was in New York City last weekend.
You can't just tell me how people are flying around?
They don't fly, Keith. People can't fly.
Oh, okay, sorry.
They're on the ground. All the good schools are involved, like Penn State, Harvard, Yale.
Maybe they can afford
NYU,
to fly.
NYU, Vassar. It's a serious thing. They take it very seriously. They all have team logos.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And the snitch is a person dressed in yellow.
What's the stitch?
The snitch is a little flying thing that you're supposed to catch.
And flies around.
Yeah.
And you have to catch this guy.
But since we're on the ground, it's a person in yellow that's running.
I think somebody told them they're playing Quidditch, but they're really playing lacrosse.
They are playing lacrosse with the lacrosse stick between their legs. Don't judge.
God.
When do they stop serving beer?
They never stop.
What? You're watching this sober.
We've got a drink from start to finish.
Whoa.
They don't stop.
Oh, they don't stop?
They don't stop.
Oh, of course you need the drink.
Oh, yeah.
I misunderstood for a second.
The whole point is to drink.
Patrice, of course, she has a website. You want to know what's going on. It's called HelenHeartaches.com.
Mm-hmm.
She says what's happening in her life. You break any hearts there in Boston? Any man waiting for you?
I kept to myself.
Yeah?
I couldn't. I was ready to come home about a month after I left. So
yeah?
I kept to myself.
You getting the ache?
No.
No? Hmm. How sexual of a person are you? 1 to 10.
For public consumption? A 4?
Yeah? It seems like you can take it or leave it. Is that true?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Take it. HelenHeartaches.com is her website. And of course, Hemda, let me mention this also, is having an Israeli meetup. We'll be off for Thanksgiving week. And have a great Thanksgiving week, people. You know, even if you're from another country, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I'm going to the motherland. And Saturday will be my last night, Saturday the 27th. And we're meeting at 7 p.m. at, I believe it's called Frame. All the information is on keithandthegirl.com/events under the November 27th place. It's in Namal, Tel Aviv.
Now, Patrice, is she making fun of them talking that way?
She can speak the language. She's fine.
Okay. So we're gonna start with a restaurant. Maybe we'll have another hang after, maybe grab a drink or something. So go to /events, keithandthegirl.com/events. I link there to the restaurant website. I link there to the meetup page on our forum so you could see who's coming and chat with them if you have any questions. And that's basically it. I think that's all the information you need. November 27th, it's on our calendar.
And it sounds like
my brother's coming.
And the restaurant seems like a good restaurant. They probably have all the spreads, right?
I don't know. See, the thing is, it's all in Hebrew, and I could read Hebrew, but if it doesn't have the dots, like, I'm not...
You don't know what to do with it.
it's very, very difficult. And I even asked, like, okay, what's the address? And the guy put, you know, on the forums, put the address and said, it's on the website. And I go, you know, if I could read it, I wouldn't have asked you. You know, it was very difficult. And I don't understand, you know, how, like, in a different country, it's a different kind of address. Like, when people order our stuff from different countries, we're like,
oh, the
okay,
way you have to write it out.
Yeah,
is different.
I don't want to fuck up. I want to make sure that, according to, if you live in Israel, this address makes sense to you. You know, I don't fucking know, really. So anyway, but now all the information is on there. I got the address, I got the location, and it's in Tel Aviv.
Miss E from Vancouver is saying, hey, where's the celebrity gossip? What's going on, Patrice?
I'm retired.
There you go. You're done.
You know, you hit a certain age.
She still twitters about, you know, the
on
stuff
occasion,
that it's like.
I more towards the pop culture side of things than so-and-so was spotted with no underpants. Because that gets tired. I mean, they're never going to put underpants on. So there's nothing I can do.
Are you turning a leaf? Is this like, who's that? Perez Hilton isn't going to be so nasty anymore.
I was never nasty.
Okay.
Turning a leaf.
A leaf of any kind in your own way. I'm just curious.
Not really. It's
checking
just
to see if we learned something there.
Over the straight gossip. It's saturated. It's kind of done.
Okay. You'll still gossip with us about your friends, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
No, that never changes.
Well, don't forget during the following week, we'll be off. But take a look around keithandthegirl.com. And over there at keithandthegirl.com/store, of course, my book, my autobiography, is available for pre-sale. We will start sending it out December 6th, first come, first serve, of course. You type in when you're ordering from the store, new store for the code, one word, new store, 10% off of everything. Also exciting news, our little way of saying, hey, thanks. KeithandTheGirl.com/live, all the live audience shows, including the Boston show that Patrice was in there acting like a classy lady. All shows are available for $5, the drop down to $5, because I don't want anybody out there getting bored and end up killing people.
Yeah, so there are some shows that are not in your feed. All our shows are free, except for like a handful that are on Slash Live. So if you want to say, I listen to all the shows, these are the shows that you might be missing.
There you have it. Thank you, Patrice.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome anytime, of course.
Sure, I have to come back so the forums can stop talking about me.
They missed you.
Girl, no, they didn't miss me. They missed they don't like it when you don't tell them everything.
That's
they
true
make
too.
Up their own version of, and then you know what happened then? Because I, you know what I figured out. That's what happened.
I know. They had us fighting and everything on the forums. They're like, I bet you know how Keith and the girl get. They just, you know.
I love the one person that came in like after the theory was dropped. I could have told you that weeks ago because I knew I'm so surprised y'all didn't figure that out. And then I came in to clear it up and I was like, I'm talking to Aldo on the phone as it's going on because somebody came up with the theory just because you guys made your announcement and people didn't know that I told you guys I was leaving for Boston about 2.5 weeks before I actually left.
But we did discuss that you're heading out,
right.
You know, we discussed
it. But they decided that day you guys just banned me from your house. Like, we can't take this bitch anymore. Fuck it. And I was like,
none of us want her in the divorce.
I was like, I spoke to them behind the scenes about how I knew and told Cold and Aldo. And I'm not going to apologize to the internet. I spoke to you two. That's who I had to talk to.
Right.
But this person is like, and I bet that's why they got her from the team. I was like, Aldo, I'm going to tell this woman about herself and watch. I'm going to end up being an animal. So I wrote back.
Hold on. I loved all the little sayings. I'm going to tell this woman about herself.
I love that.
So I write it back. Kind. Spelled everything correctly. Boom. Sent it out. I might have understood it wrong. I have brain damage. You know what? Fuck you and your brain damage. You know what? Because I stayed out of this for 5 million pages. And then I have brain damage. I have flat arches. Fuck you.
You know, Patrice, 25% of Americans
have brain damage.
I do. You know what? Now you get what I'm going through when I get a letter. And I read it and I try to, you know, solve somebody's problem that they're having. Then they go, I was drunk and didn't care anyway. It's like, you bitch. I hear you. I know exactly what you mean. Well, there you go. There's Patrice. She is alive.
I'm alive. I'm allowed in the house.
And she's allowed in our house. That's it. Have a great weekend. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great week. We'll talk to you guys soon.
KeithandTheGirl.com.